hope you enjoy listening to this weekly podcast from Lifeline Church. You can find out more and discover our other podcasts by searching for Lifeline Church, visiting lifelinechurch.co.uk, or by taking a look at our YouTube channel, Lifeline Church Dagenham.
I kind of planned this whole morning to be targeted at our children, because our children are going to be in today. So that's just two of them right now. But I think we'll all appreciate the many hours of preparation that went into making this very accessible for children. So we're looking at the Gospel of Mark. So it actually made me think about this question. How do we become more likable? How do we get people to like us more? Well, in your classes, guys, what makes someone more popular? Any thoughts? What makes people want to be your friend? Good at sports, Auntie Avril.
You're nice to them.
If you're nice to them. Others, do you remember back in primary school, what made people like you more? Oh, all at once, come on. One hand. Fastest in the class. Look, that was one of my ideas. The fastest. Or you always want to be friends with the fastest kid, yeah? What would you want to be friends with the kid that owns his own Ferrari? That would be pretty cool, right? What about the friend that owns their own pony? That would be pretty wild, right? What would you call your pony if you had a pony?
My little.
My little. Fantastic. Arthur. Gerald. Gerald's a great name for a horse. Yeah? Okay. Jamie, what would you call your pony? No idea. Good. That sounds like a racehorse, actually. That's great. Would you be friends with the kid that owns every single Ninjago Lego set? Yeah? I would. Dave Gibbons is your friend. Okay. All right. What if you were friends with the fourth one of the K-pop demon hunters? I don't know about you, but I know that I'm not the strongest, I'm not the cleverest, I'm not the fastest. And I had a thought. That's what would have made me popular amongst my friends at school. But what if that's also the way that Jesus looks at us? What if Jesus treated us in that way, that you had to be the fastest or the strongest or own a pony for him to want to be your friend? That would be tough. So, to be a friend of Jesus, do I need to be clever?
No.
Okay. Do I need to be good?
No.
Yeah. No. To be a friend of Jesus, do I need to be funny? To be a friend of Jesus, do I have to be attractive?
No.
Whew, that's lucky. The only thing I need to be a friend of Jesus is to need him. And that's what the Bible tells us again and again. The only thing we need is to need him. So we're going to jump back into the story of Mark. Oh, I forgot to make a point on this one. So I need him when I'm sad, when I'm unwell, when I'm hopeless. But I also need him when everything's going well, when I'm healthy and when I'm happy. I need him just as much each time, because I want, the only way I can be made right with God is because of Jesus. So I need him no matter if everything's going well, if I'm really good at everything, or if everything's going really badly, because my sin separated me from God. And so I need Jesus to bring me back to him. Right, so back to Mark. So the story so far, here's some of the crazy things that we've seen Jesus do so far already. So he got baptized. He did some preaching, and people thought, wow, this guy is a really good teacher. He cast out a demon. Oh, that's this one. He healed Simon's mother-in-law. He healed a leper. And then this was the one that William was just telling us about. Was when a paralyzed man was lowered down through the roof, he healed him. Now I'm going to tell you three other stories today, tiny little stories that show us how we can be friends with Jesus and what actually gets in the way. So the first story is about dinner at Levi's house. Now Levi was also called Matthew. He is the author of the first book of the gospel. So Jesus is really popular. Everyone wants to be around Jesus. There's always crowds going around him, whatever he's doing. And he could probably hang out with any kid he wanted. That's how popular he was. And as he's walking through the street, he sees this guy called Levi. Now, Levi was a tax collector. Can you say boo? So tax collectors, boo, were really, really unpopular because they were taking money from people and they were stealing some of it. And they were taking money to give to the Romans who were pushing the people of Israel down. So it was like they were being robbed each day. And it was the tax collector, there was one of their own people that was doing it to them. So Levi was very unpopular. But Jesus went and found Matthew at his tax booth. And he says, come follow me. And Matthew gets up and just leaves his booth and he follows Jesus. Later on, Jesus goes to Levi's house and they have dinner together with all of his tax collector friends and they eat together. So to eat with someone means I want to be your friend. And so the very religious people, these people, were watching and said, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? He shouldn't be around these people. We're the good people. We're the ones that have done everything that is right. He should want to be friends with us. Why is he mixing with these people? And Jesus says to them, you know, it's not the healthy who need a doctor. Who needs a doctor? The sick people need a doctor. I've not come to call the righteous, those are people that are right, like that are good. I've come to call the sinners. I've come to call the worst. So Jesus actually only comes to the people who need him. You remember what it takes to be Jesus' friend? I don't have to be clever, don't have to be good, don't have to be funny, don't have to be attractive. I just need to need him. And that's like being a sick person that needs a doctor. Okay, so remember that was story one. Story two. So one day, Jesus and his friends are walking. This is on the Sabbath. So that was a special day for Jesus' time where you weren't meant to do any work. And they were walking through this grain field. And as they went, some of the disciples started plucking some of the grain heads and they crunched them up in their hands and they were eating grain. It was like a vending machine as they walked through. And these religious people down there were saying, they shouldn't be doing that. That's illegal because on the Sabbath, you're not meant to do that. Right, well, you know what the law actually said is you shouldn't go plowing and harvesting on the Sabbath. And they're saying that plucking that little piece of grain and crunching it up and eating it, that was harvesting. So they took a rule that God put in place and they added to it. They made it much bigger than it actually was. And that wasn't what God wanted. So the Sabbath, if you remember in the story of God making everything, it took him 6 days to make everything. And on the seventh day, he had a rest. He said, it's good, so I'm going to finish on this day. And so God told people, I want you to respect the Sabbath, so you're taking a time of rest. And it had other reasons. So, you know, when you're working really hard, you're just exhausted. So God doesn't want us to be absolutely exhausted. So he said, I want you to take a break. Otherwise, you'd be working all the time, constantly. Another reason for the Sabbath is when you stop working, you can actually lift your head up and look around what everything else that's going on. Imagine, he would never have had a time to take his dog up to the top of that mountain and look at that scene if he was working all the time, would he? And the last reason that God had told us to respect the Sabbath, so not to work on that day, is to remember it's not by your work that the crops grow. Because it's God that brings the sun, and it's God that brings the rain. It's God that actually provides for you. So that's what the Sabbath was meant to be about. But these religious people, they took it and they made it a burden for people. They would prefer the disciples to be hungry than to break what they decided was the new rule. And that's what religion does. It makes us a slave, but God's desire was always that you would be able to enjoy and have fun. Now, adults, did any of you come from homes where you weren't allowed to do something on Sundays? Yeah? Martin, what weren't you allowed to do on a Sunday? He couldn't watch TV on a Sunday. Mum, what couldn't you do on a Sunday? You couldn't play with a ball on a Sunday. That's not fun. Avril, what couldn't you do? Couldn't buy ice cream on a Sunday. Do you think any of those rules were written in the Bible? No. So how does that happen? How do we make up these new rules? Well, we get to that soon. The third story is Jesus healing a man's hand, again, on the Sabbath. So I'll read this one to you straight from the Bible. So, another time, Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. So his hand was deformed. Some of them, this was the religious people, were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal the man on the Sabbath. It's like a trap. They're waiting to catch him. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Jesus asked them, he's asking the people that are watching him at the back, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to kill?" What do you think the answer is? Yeah, it's a simple question, right? I think even Owen could have got that one right. But the people wouldn't answer. They refused to answer the question. So Jesus looked around and he was angry and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. Why do you think Jesus was angry? Why do you think Jesus was angry with them for not answering? William? Very good. So they were thinking that Jesus was not trustworthy. They didn't want to give him the answer. I think because if they answered, they would have ruined their own trap, because they were waiting for him to do something good. And then if they say this was a good thing to do, oh, they can't trap him. So they didn't know what to do. Jesus said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched out his hand and it was completely restored. Yeah, Jesus fixed him. Fantastic. You think everyone would be happy, but no. Then the religious people, they went out and they began to plot with another group called the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. What had Jesus done wrong?
Nothing.
He'd done nothing wrong. All he'd done was heal a man, and they wanted to kill him for it. I think that was because in healing that man, he showed them, this isn't about you obeying the rules that make you good, it's about me that makes you good. And they didn't want to admit that they needed Jesus. The very thing that Jesus needs them to admit to be able to be friends with, they thought, no, it's all of our rule obeying that makes us good. No, it's only Jesus that makes us good. So let's look at this idea, religion. What is religion? So religion is trying to make ourselves good. It's trying to be the cleverest, but trying to be the smartest so that Jesus would like us. It's like trying to climb up a mountain to where God is. And we can keep trying really hard to climb right to the very top. But the problem is we fall all the way back down again because we were never designed to get to the top. But when we talk about the gospel, we talk about what Jesus has done. It's actually more like this. Jesus coming down to us. See, if you remember, on the seventh day, God rested. Why do you think God rested? Okay, good idea. So he didn't want to be tired and miss what he'd done. Aidan, what do you think?
He'd never stop working.
These are good ideas. You know what I think? I don't think it was that he was tired. I think he stopped because it was finished. He'd done everything. And so I think you're right in the fact of, now I can enjoy what I've made. But it said it was good. And God never gets tired. It says in the Bible, God never gets tired. He never gets sleepy. He never misses anything. And so the idea of the Sabbath is when everything's done. And you know what Jesus said when he was on the cross? Just before he died, he said, "It is finished. It's done. Everything that needed to be done, I've done it for you. You don't have to do a thing. You don't have to obey all of the rules. You don't have to be the cleverest or the smartest or the goodest. All you need is to need me." And the problem with religion, it gets in the way. Because instead of saying, "All I need is you, Lord," it says, "I've done enough. You should like me because I've done all of these other things for you." So why do sometimes we choose religion? Because you know what? I choose to be religious. I try and do things to make me likable to God. It's a strange thing to try and do, but I do it a lot of the time. Sometimes I think, "Oh, I've not read the Bible enough, so Jesus isn't going to like me." Or, "I didn't go to that meeting. Maybe God doesn't like me now that I didn't go to the meeting." Or, "I've behaved really well. I've behaved better than Zeph has, so God's going to like me more than he likes Zeph." Maybe I think, "Oh, I've not cleaned my teeth. Maybe God won't like me today." That's thinking like someone that's religious. And it's forgetting all I need is him, because he's done everything that I need. I heard this idea. Imagine your parents are wrapping up your Christmas present in their bedroom. And so they've put this sign on the door: "Keep out, elves at work. So you mustn't come in." Now, if you're religious, what you might think is, "Oh, I mustn't be in the house. I must leave the house. I must leave the street. I must leave the country. I've got to go to the moon to keep away, because I keep putting extra rules, because I think if God sees me, he's going to be angry with me. Or if my parents know that I'm here, they're going to be angry with me." But that's not the way that God works. He's actually wrapping up your Christmas present because he's got something good to give you. So any rules that God gives you, it's for your good. You've not got to be afraid of God, because he's got good things for us all the time. And the other good thing about not having to be religious, sometimes when you're religious, like those religious people in the story, they always want to present themselves. They want to look like they're really good and they've got it all together. They want to look like this guy. Look very smart, very, very clean, but they actually feel like that inside. They're actually trying really hard to pretend. Do you have to pretend to Jesus to make him like you? No? Because you know what? Even if you look like this, Jesus would still receive you and love you and care for you. Because you don't have to be clever. You don't have to be good. You don't have to be funny. You don't have to be attractive. You just need to need him. And that's what the gospel tells us. You know, there's a bit in the Bible where it says, God demonstrates his own love. God shows off his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, while we were still doing bad things, while we were still messed up, Christ died for us. So it wasn't once we did good, it wasn't once we had lots of stuff, it wasn't once we kept all of the rules, it was actually while we were breaking the rules that he died for us. Because you see, Jesus has chosen you as a friend. He's chosen you. Can you imagine that? He was the most popular person, and he came and he found you and said, "I want to be your friend." So my question for you today is, will you choose him to be your friend? You don't need anything to prove yourself to him. He's seen you. He's seen you all messy and snotty. And he still loves you and he chooses you. So, anyone brave enough to say what you're thinking after what I just said? Put your hand up and wave at me and you tell me what you're thinking. We want Jesus to be our friend. Good. I want that too. Yeah. I want to choose Jesus because I know that he's chosen me. How about older people? What's your response? What are you thinking?
He loves you no matter what.
He loves you no matter what. Like, I've known that for years, but sometimes something in me goes, yes, he does. That's amazing. He loves me no matter what. Who finds you get stressed out thinking, oh, which way do I go? This way, do I go that way? Do I pick this decision or I pick that decision? Oh, everything. I might mess everything up if I choose the wrong thing. You guys think that? I think that sometimes. But to know that that's not the biggest deal to God. The biggest deal is to say, I need you. I need you. That's all I got. Yeah, yeah, because we can think, you know, having all those Ninjago kits, that's the thing that's most important. But when you see Jesus for who he is, you realize that's the most important thing.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Lifeline Church. We hope this message has been an encouragement to you. We are a relational church who live to demonstrate God's love to one another and our surrounding community in real and practical ways. We believe that this love can restore our families, our friendships, our communities, and our nation. We'd love to connect further with you, so please visit our website, lifelinechurch.co.uk, or interact with us on Facebook at lifeline.church.uk.